My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is a part of our religion to assess what has passed and to think about what will come to pass. Our religion tells us to have muhasaba, and muhasaba means you think about what you have done. And our religion tells us to have takhtit, or planning for the future. So as we stand here today, each and every one of us should look back at the last year and what we have accomplished in that year. What has happened in the ummah, nationally and internationally. What has changed in our own lives. What is different in our own communities. An entire year, hundreds of days, thousands of hours. How many memories have we formed that will last with us for the rest of our lifetimes? And how many deeds have we accrued that we will see the results and the fruits of in the next life? 1 year ago, in this very masjid, there were people sitting that are not sitting here today anymore. In this very masjid, we have had deaths in our own community. 1 year ago, every one of us had some family or some friends that are no longer here with us today. It is the sunnah of Allah that no year goes by except that we lose some people. It is the sunnah of Allah, whether they're close family or distant relatives, whether they're acquaintances or friends, no year goes by except that somebody has gone from our own circle. So as we look back, we remember those that have gone and we realize one day we too will be following that path. And as we sit here today, we think about the year that is about to come upon us. The new year. What is expected? What has been decreed? What is in our qadr? What misfortunes might befall us? We ask Allah's protection. What evil has been destined? We ask Allah to protect us from that. We do not know. And what good has been written? And we ask Allah to increase in that good. What calamities? What blessings? And most importantly, as we come to this new year, will we even see the end of this year? And if we do, how many more years has been written for us? All of these are questions that we should be thinking about, not just every day, but especially as we begin, as we end 1 year and begin anew. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, the miracle that is known as time. That issue of time, the days go into the weeks, and the week turn into the months, and the months turn into the years, and the years turn into a lifetime, and then that is it, our time on this earth is done. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days, we have distributed them to the people. Each one has a distribution, each one has a set decree, and Allah Azza wa Jalla's plan is that days come and go, and people will live in those days for a certain period of time, and then that's it. It is time for a new generation, a new people. And this is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about the reality of time. يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah is the one who keeps on substituting the night for the day. Time goes on. Every day leads to another night. Every night leads to a new day. يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah is the one. He keeps on bringing the night into the day and the day into the night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to think about the reality of the weeks and the months and the years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. A miracle for them. A sign for them to think about. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. Think about the night, how it is formed. Allah says, we strip the day away until they are left in darkness. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ. The day is literally stripped away. If you look at the sun setting, you will find one layer of the sun, then another layer, until finally, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. They will find themselves in darkness. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. And the sun has been destined to go in its orbit. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. This mighty, powerful globe of helium that is giving us our life by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than 80 million miles away, this globe of helium that is giving us this life, Allah says, who has controlled it so that it is going in a set orbit? It is going in such a precise orbit, we can time it down to the millisecond. Rather, I have said this before, I'll say it again, we don't time the sun. The sun is so precise, our time units are derived from the sun. Our time units are actually derived from the motion of the sun. That is how precise it is. And Allah says, who has that power? ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ This is the qadr, this is the decree of the one who is aziz, the one who is full of majesty and power, the one who has knowledge. So Allah says, the sun is going in its orbit, and that is the year. And then the next verse, وَالْقَمَرْ قَدَّرْنَاهَا مَنَازِلِ And the moon as well, we are the one that have apportioned for it every single night. The manazil, the Arabs would divide the moon into 28 or 29 manazil. Each manzil is one of the lunar calendar. Every night has a manzil. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ manazil. And the moon, we are the ones who have appointed all of these manazil day by day. The days go into the months go into the years. And all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is a reality of your own life. حَتَّى عَادَكَ الْعُرُجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ Until the moon will come back like a dried up palm of a date stalk. So what happens is the date, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example that all of the Arabs would understand at that time, that the date stalk, the stalk upon which the dates grow, it becomes ripe and luscious and green. It becomes strong. When you pluck the grapes from it, there is left a stalk or a stem. After you pluck it, that stem becomes slowly and surely withered and yellow and old, and it becomes curled up until it becomes more fragile than the wind itself. The wind will come and take it away. Once this stalk was a hard leaf, you couldn't break it if you tried to, and now it is so old that the wind will destroy it. And Allah gives the example of our lives as well in this manner, that we grow up young and strong, we become bright and luscious and green, we become vibrant and full of energy, and then slowly but surely that energy is sapped away until finally a time will come when we no longer are here. Just like that date palm as well will one day leave itself. And Allah says, لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ Neither will the sun catch up with the moon, or neither will the day catch up with the night. Each and every one of these celestial objects has their own orbit that they are going in. You know, we take it for granted, the night and the day, the sun and the moon, the weeks and the months and the years. But the fact of the matter is, Allah says, don't take it for granted. Look at it. Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِنَهَارٍ That if Allah asks us, imagine if you were shoved into complete darkness of the night for eternity, what other God would give you the light that you are walking around in? And imagine if Allah Azza wa Jal gave you perpetual light, what other God besides Allah will give you a night that you can find rest and comfort in? وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ Of His mercy, He has given you both the night and the day. And this is the passing of the days and the nights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that even the number of days of the week and the number of months of the year is things that Allah has set for mankind. There's verses in the Quran and a hadith that talk about this. For example, Allah says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا The number of months in the eyes of Allah is 12. This is a verse in the Quran. How many of us even know the Quran tells us there are 12 months in the calendar? And that is why, subhanAllah, it is human nature that throughout the globe, all of these calendars that exist, why are they 12 months in the year? This was the decree of Allah. When did He decree it? يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The day He created the heavens and the earth, He decreed there shall be 12 months. And so societies might have disagreed with the lunar calendar, and most other calendars are not lunar, but they could not change what Allah had decreed, that there will be 12 months of the year. So the Western or the Gregorian calendar is based on the sun, as we know, but still the number of months is 12. And our calendar is based on the moon, and the number of months is 12. And of course, four of those months are the sacred or holy months. And we are in a holy month, and we're going to come into the holy month. Both Dhul Hijjah and Muharram are both holy months. And in these holy months, warfare is prohibited and extra good deeds are encouraged. But the point of this khutbah, of course, is to remind ourselves of the passing of time, how quickly time goes by. And before we know it, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, no matter how old we are, whether we're 10, whether we're 50, whether mother were 80. When you look back, you wonder, where did all of that time go? How quickly did time go by? Whether you are now a grandfather, yesterday you remember you had just become a father. If you are not yet married, yesterday you remember you were in high school. No matter what your age, time is one of those amazing things that you just look back and literally, as the expression goes in English, the twinkling of an eye. This is exactly the way we all feel about time. Because time just goes, and next thing you know it, from 10 you're 20, from 20 you're 30, 30 you're 40, 40 you're 50. Next thing you know, you might not be on this earth. This is the reality of what Allah Azza wa Jal has created. And therefore, as we begin a new year and end one year, it is a time once again for us to renew the concept of the importance of time, of taking advantage of time. And of course, as we do this, we realize and understand that there's nothing particularly Islamically significant about the change of the year. In fact, as we know, historically, and it's good for us to remind ourselves, it was not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who instituted the calendar. Rather, in those days, the calendar was based upon a significant event. The year there was an eclipse, the year that so-and-so died. They would just name the year. And so the year the Prophet was born is the year of the elephant. That's how they would do things. But then as the caliphate expanded, it became a global enterprise. The Sahaba realized we need something more specific and academic and scientific. So Umar ibn al-Khattab called a gathering of the Sahaba. And this was in the 16th year of the Hijrah. He called a gathering of the Sahaba. And he said, we need a calendar. What year should we begin at? What incident should we mark the beginning of the calendar? So some of the Sahaba said with the birth of the Prophet ﷺ. Others said that no, with the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Others said that no, let us mark the calendar with the conquest of Mecca. Even was an opinion that some of them said. And finally, they settled upon, and Umar and Ali and Uthman, they all agreed that we should start the calendar with the Hijrah. So in the whole year, in the whole life of the Prophet ﷺ, the one incident that they considered to be the real game changer, that's what flipped everything around, was the Hijrah. And so they said that should mark the beginning of the year. That was when Islam began its actual political glory. So they all agreed to mark the beginning of the year. The first year should be the year of the Hijrah. Then the discussion began, what should be the first month? Because when you don't have a calendar, you don't have a first month. There is no January when there is no first year. So what is the first month? They began discussion. Some said Ramadan because it is the holiest month. Others said this, others said that. Until finally, Uthman ibn Affan suggested, let it be Muharram. Why? Because Hajj takes place in Dhul Hijjah. And after Hajj, we start anew. We start afresh. It's a new beginning. You're born again. Literally, as the Prophet ﷺ would say, that the one who performs Hajj and he doesn't commit to sin, he will come back like the day his mother gave birth to him. So it is literally a new beginning. Now back then, the Sahaba, most of them would perform Hajj every year. Not like us, we perform it once a lifetime. If Allah Azza wa Jal blesses. But the Sahaba would typically perform Hajj every single year. So for them, they decided Muharram should be the beginning of the new year, because that is the beginning of the cleansing of the sins. You start afresh, you start anew. And so indeed it was decided to make Muharram the beginning of the year. So the reality is that, yes, let us be fair, that the number 1435, 1436, in and of itself, there's not something that is Islamically significant. But what is significant is that time goes on, and the days turn to nights, and the nights turn into days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every one of us enough time for us to live righteous lives. Allah says in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ. Haven't we given you enough time, given you enough life? أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ. We've given you enough life and time. And that time, Allah says, it is sufficient for somebody who wants to be guided and righteous to be guided and righteous. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ. The one who wants to be aware and wants to be good, he has the time to be good. And this is the whole point here, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given all of us enough time to think about truth and to act upon that truth. And our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well therefore encouraged us to think daily about what we are doing to benefit our time. Every single day is a gift from Allah. Every week, every month, every year. So every day and week and month and year, we should be having our goals. What do I want to do? Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that every Muslim wakes up Everybody wakes up in the morning and he goes out to work. He's giving an example of a businessman. That every one of us is as if he has a business. That everybody has to take care of that business. And they go out to work for themselves. So some of the people end up freeing themselves as if they're in labor, enslaved. They'll end up freeing themselves. And others will end up destroying themselves. You are the business. Your profit and loss is what is at stake here. Not something else. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what is your commodity that you have? Time. You have time on your side, and everybody has the same amount of time per unit day. Every day we have the same amount of time. The rich and the poor, the weak and the strong, men and women, Muslim and non-Muslim, the one thing we all share exactly the same per unit is time. Every day when I wake up, everybody that is awake at this day has the same potential to do something 24 hours for every day that we have. And this is what our Prophet is saying, that every morning they wake up, everybody wakes up, kullu nasi yaghdu, everybody wakes up walking out, wanting to do some amal, to do some good. And so either they end up freeing themselves as if they were a slave, that they have to free themselves, or they end up destroying themselves. So we are the business, and the commodity we have on our side is time. And this is exactly the analogy that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So the wise person, my dear brothers and sisters, thinks about what are his goals for the short term, for the immediate term, and yes, even for the long term. As Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Let every person think what he has done for tomorrow. For tomorrow. Now the ayah of course means tomorrow, the akhirah. But even tomorrow in this world, what have we prepared for tomorrow? What is our vision? What is our goal? What do I seek to accomplish with the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Tabi'un would be the greatest examples for us in how much they cared about time. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the greatest regret that I have is that a day passes and my end date becomes closer, and yet my deeds do not increase. My greatest regret, he says, a day passes and my time diminishes, but my good deeds do not increase. So what does this show us? It shows us Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, every single day he's thinking, what have I done today? This is what he's thinking. Every single day he is making muhasaba. He is thinking to himself, what have I done? And then he tells his students, the biggest regret I have is to look at my day and realize I wasted it in nothing that will actually benefit me in the actual tomorrow of the akhirah. He said this is his greatest regret. And indeed, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said in a hadith reported in Al-Bayhaqi Shu'ab al-Iman, that the Prophet himself said that the people of Jannah will not regret anything. There are no regrets in Jannah. In Jannah, there's no, you're there, you're there. May Allah make us of its inhabitants. The people of Jannah will not regret anything except what is that regret they will have? An hour that passed by in this world in which they did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be their regret. Why? Because that's it. When you are dead, you are dead. Your good deeds come to an end. And whatever their place is in Jannah, they will go back and they have an eternity to think about. They will go back, and the Quran tells us that in Jannah, we will have a perfect memory. We will know each and everything that we did. We'll remember every incident. We'll remember meeting and greeting and going to parties and doing all that we are doing. We'll remember all of this. And so what will their regret be? They will regret every hour that they didn't do something productive that they could actually benefit from in the next life. And subhanAllah, even if it's just dhikr, even if it's just subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, even if it's just sending salat upon the Prophet ﷺ, something that you do in that hour, that you can in the akhirah be able to reap the reward of that. And no doubt the more that we do, the higher our place will be. Brothers and sisters in Islam, on the Day of Judgment, we have been told the exam that we will be asked. The questions have been given to us. And there are 5 questions. We all know these questions. And 2 of those questions deal with time. Two of those questions deal with time. The first of them, the most important part of time, and that is your youth. That are one of the questions Allah will ask you, an shababihi, on your youth, when you were the most energetic, you had the most zeal, the most enthusiasm, you could do amazing things. What did you spend your youth doing? So those of us who were fortunate to spend our youth doing something good, alhamdulillah. But if not, not all hope is lost, because another question also deals with time. Wa an umurihi fima afna, on his life, what did he do with the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him? So the youth is especially important. And by youth, the scholars say up until 30 is considered to be the youthfulness amongst the Arabs. So if you're still below 30, my young brothers and sisters, then take advantage of this hadith and realize that spending those quality years doing something extra special, memorizing the Quran, doing some extra ibadah, that is really the best time. Because when you establish the habit in those years, you will never break the habit later on. But for those of us who have passed beyond that age, it is not too late. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us time. We are all here today. We are all alive and benefiting from the recitation of the Quran, from dhikr, from dua. So make sure we spend the rest of our lives doing that which will benefit us. Of course, the other questions for those who might not be aware of the hadith is that two of them also deal with money. How did you earn your money? And then what did you spend it on? So out of the five, two deal with time, two deal with money. Is your money halal? And then did you spend it on halal? And then the fifth question is your knowledge. How much knowledge did you gain of this religion? And then how much did you act upon that knowledge? These are the five questions that will be asked. And I conclude the first part of the khutbah, my dear brothers and sisters, that each and every person who takes advantage of this time in this world will be happy and joyous in the akhirah. And they will be greeting others. Allah said in the Quran, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَيْذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ, their faces will be shining bright. And they will be telling people, come, read my results. هَاُ مُقْرَأُ قِتَابِيَ إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ, I knew that I would be meeting Allah and meeting my hisab. But for the one who does not take advantage of his or her time and spends time in frivolous, in vain matters, when the days go into weeks and weeks go into months and nothing significant is accomplished, as for this person, on the day of judgment, he will be begging Allah for a second opportunity, for a second chance to be given, not money, not wealth, not children, time. He will be begging for time. Oh Allah, give me more time. Send me back and give me a few more years so that I can show you. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. He will beg Allah, send me back to time. Send me back in time and let me do it one more time so that you will see what I have done. And these same people will be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and challenging Allah. Oh Allah, you didn't give us enough time. You didn't give us enough time to do good. Because they will not believe that they have lived 5, 10, 50, 70 years in this world and they have nothing to show for it in the akhirah. All of their money and their wealth and their fame and their pedigrees, all of this has come to naught because they didn't do it for the akhirah. So when they come and they see nothing to show for a lifetime that they have lived, they will then challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will say, oh Allah, you didn't give us enough time. When Allah says, how much time did you have? قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. How many years did I give you that you show me nothing? So they will then challenge Allah and they will say to Allah, قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ. In their arrogance and their madness, they will go crazy on that day. They will even challenge Allah. Oh Allah, you didn't give us number of years. You gave us one day. No, you only gave us half of a day. And if you don't believe me, they're asking Allah, go ask the angels who are counting. So they're so deluded, they're so delirious now that they cannot believe they have spent an entire lifetime and they are doing nothing in this lifetime to show for it. And they're coming on the day of judgment and they challenge Allah. Oh Allah, give us one more chance because you didn't give us time. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. It is true, you were given a little time, but that was enough for you. لَوْ كُنْتُمْ تَعَلَمُونَ. If you only had knowledge and understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the message of the Quran. Barakallahu wa lakum furqanan azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikril hakim. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين لكل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah al-wahid al-ahad. الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد.
As we remember the year that has gone and the year that will happen, let us also quickly remind ourselves of the significance of why the Sahaba chose that particular incident, which is the Hijrah. Why the Hijrah? Why not the conquest of Mecca? Why not the birth of the Prophet? And why not something else? Why the Hijrah? The Hijrah really and truly represents the dramatic change that can instantaneously transform the worst to the best time. One incident, 1 second, can literally transform the worst time to the best time. Look at pre-Hijrah and compare it to post-Hijrah. Pre-Hijrah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being persecuted physically. That after the death of Abu Talib and Khadija, and that was the worst, the most traumatic year of his life. He lost his wife, he lost Abu Talib. And on top of that, the pagans began persecuting him because Abu Talib is now dead. As we mentioned in our seerah classes, that the Quraysh never dared to physically touch the Prophet when Abu Talib was alive. But as soon as Abu Talib died, that protection, the physical protection of this world was gone. That was when they began publicly rebuking him. That was when they threw the camel, the dead camel on him. That was when they attempted to assassinate him multiple times. All of this occurred right before the Hijrah. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to find solace and comfort in Ta'if. We know what happened in Ta'if. He with great difficulty was even allowed to come back into the city of Mecca. And so from this situation, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to a city. He didn't know the people of that city. He had not visited the city as an adult. He didn't know the reality of that city. And yet he put his trust in Allah. And he emigrated to the city of Medina. And subhanAllah, bayna ashiyatin wa duhaha, between the morning and the evening, literally what happened? Going from someone who was persecuted, someone who's almost assassinated, instantaneously he becomes the leader of the republic. He becomes the source of authority. He was the one who emigrated fearing for his life and putting his trust in Allah. And subhanAllah, that place of Medina became place where other people fled to protect themselves for their lives. The Hijrah was to Medina. That was the bastion of Islam, the republic, the source of honor and izzah and glory, the capital of the new Islamic Republic, from which Islam would spread all the way to the east and the west. Indeed, if anything, the Hijrah for us represents the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of optimism. Never lose hope. And as the saying goes, that the sun rises after the darkest time of the night. That's when the sun rises, the dawn breaks after the darkest time of the night. And this is what we also learn from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, that it appeared to be the worst situation and scenario. And that was when the sun rose in Medina. That was when the new dawn began. And so indeed, my dear brothers and sisters, the situation of the ummah is dire. The situation of the ummah is very depressing. But it is a part of our religion to be optimistic and to have the best thoughts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to always put our trust in Allah, even if we do not know from where or how help will come. Ala inna nasra Allahi qareeb. Indeed, the help of Allah is close. Let us remember the iman that our Prophet ﷺ displayed in Ghari Thawr, when he was in the cave of Thawr, literally without weapons, without army, without support. They didn't even have weapons to defend themselves. It is just him and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and around them are the Quraysh zoning in. And they're so close, and even Abu Bakr begins to tremble and he's terrified, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, all they need to do is to look down and there we are, and that's it. And then what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Do you think our Prophet ﷺ was scared? Do you think he was terrified? This is what iman does. He calmed Abu Bakr down. Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnain Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think is the status of two people? Allah is the third of those two people. Allah is with us. Inna Allaha ma'ana. Allah is with us. And if we are sincere to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed fulfill His promise. So as we begin our new year, let us be optimistic about our future. The future for ourselves, the future for our families, the future for our children, the future for our communities, the future for our masjid, the future for our land and country, and most importantly, the future for our ummah. As we look at the new year, let us make it a goal of ours to make it much better than the previous year. And the year after that, if Allah blesses us, to make it even better than the year before. And we make a dua to Allah That, oh Allah, make our best year our last year, and the best days our last days, and the best hours our last hours. We always want to be better and better and better. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a long life full of righteous deeds. And we seek refuge in Allah from a long life full of bad deeds. For our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and with this hadith I conclude, that the best people are those who have long lives full of righteous deeds, and the worst people are those who have long lives full of evil and unrighteous deeds. We want to have long lives full of iman and taqwa, and the only way to do that is to take it one day at a time. Every single day we wake up and we try to free ourselves from the punishment of Allah and enter into Allah's mercy. And if we do this every single day, then inshaAllah ta'ala, the day that will be our last day, and all of us will have a last day, that day will be a successful day, because we would have ended up freeing ourselves and entering into Allah's Jannah.